Let's start with Psalms. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Let's start reading with verse 19. Psalm 68:19. It says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death." Now I'll leave that to mull that just for a minute, and you'll be going back there later. But Proverbs chapter 4 now. Bible said back in Psalms that to God the Lord belong the issues from death. And in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they," those words, "are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." And then it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." From Psalm 68, you have God being, to God belong the issues from death. And from Proverbs 4, out of the heart are the issues of life. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we pray your help here this morning in casting some light on things. And once again, we come smack into the middle of how differently you look at things as compared to man. And Father, we are continually bombarded with information, with news, with reports of all manner of things. And often none of those things reflect how you look at things. I pray you'd help us this morning to disengage a little bit from the things of the world and to recognize what you understand to be the issues. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you'll find in both those passages the word issues. To God belong the issues. And it says from death. And then from Proverbs it says that keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, it's common for men to talk about issues and to talk over issues. Those issues cover, you know, such a broad range of things that it's hard to even pronounce them all. But personal issues, private issues, public issues, political issues, foreign policy issues, domestic policy issues, economic issues, material issues, war, military issues, tax issues, issues of our borders, the family issues, marriage issues, legal issues. I even have an issue at McDonald's when I order a supersized fry and they give me a Happy Meal size fry. I have issues. That's how men look at issues. The issues spread out to be all kinds of things all over the place. Interestingly, and perhaps I hope even fascinating to you, is the fact that there are only two issues mentioned in the Bible that God cares anything about. To Him, it says, belong the issues from death, and out of the heart are the issues of life. That points out immediately to you that God, in order of importance, characterizes issues far different than we do. It runs away with us. I mean, on political grounds, I mean, economics, foreign policy, a thousand other things, taxes, the economy, etc., etc., etc. In our personal lives, it's one thing after another. Our marriage, our kids, our schooling, our career, taxes, the hot water heater breaking, and those pesky McDonald's fries. But for men, the issues spread out all over the place. It shows you that God cuts to the quick of what's important. And in spite of what you may consider a necessity or something of import, that's not necessarily what God considers it. And when we think of all the things that are issues in our lives, it's important to recognize that God recognizes two issues. Issues from death and the issues of life. And I know the issues of life cover lots of things, but we'll talk about that in a second. Now, the Bible uses more frequently the singular word issue. Issues, plural, only shows up twice. But an issue, singular, in the Bible may refer, for one, to somebody's children, that is their progeny. They used to say, those seven kids are that couple's issue. That's what issued out of their loins. In other words, family, progeny, your children. Another way the Bible uses the singular word issue has to do with what proceeds out of your flesh. On a medical basis, the Bible says that when a man spits, that's something that issues forth from him. So when you're sick and you vomit or have mucus, and I'll just leave it there, okay? That's issue, bodily speaking. Also, it's used from the perspective of from a fountain of water issues forth certain things. But it's what proceeds from something. And so out of that, you can come to the easy conclusion that there are issues of life that flow out from something. And the Bible describes that as the heart. And it also says that there are things then that issue forth or that proceed from death. And to those things belong to God. Let me talk to you this morning about the two issues. And in the Bible, there's only two issues, plural. And God is a critical part of both. I wanted to just break these down. This is a little bit different sermon because I'm just going to take those two points and do the best I can to illuminate it and show you what the Bible says about it. So we're going to start with the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23 says a blank, flat statement. It's something that some folks would automatically disagree with. And I'm sorry that you stand in disagreement with God if that's the case. But it says there to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And actually that verse is right back there beneath the clock. So you can read it on the way out again after we're done here. But it says that out of the heart are the issues of life. Now, we're not unfamiliar with the phrase, the issues of life. Those are very common. And of course, that covers all kinds of territory. Work, family, job, children, happiness, sadness, resentment, joy, children, mothers-in-law. Let's not leave those out. Sin, righteousness, hope, despair, the government, taxes, war, bankruptcy, sickness, hospitals, you know, nursing homes, a thousand things. It says there, though, the first main thing to say and to understand, it says from verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I would point out to you something that some folks maybe have trouble with, but the source of the issue, the source of the issues is the heart. What flows out of life comes from the heart of man. Now, I got some other things to say about that a little bit later. I'd point out to you that the word heart or heart shows up 950 times. The heart of man shows up more times in the Bible than the soul of man or anything else. But the heart of man is a big, big deal. Man tends to blame others for his issues in life. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says that out of the heart are the issues of life. That's the source of the issues. Now, I understand how some folks think about these things, and I've thought about them before like that as well. But the man stood in the garden, and the Lord says, hey, what are you hiding from me for? He says, well, because we were naked. He said, how did you know you were naked? He said, because the woman. And he said, hey, how come you did that? And she said, oh, the serpent. It's never their fault. And so it is. If you're not careful, it's never your fault. I would have you see, though, that while blame is laid everywhere else, as far as the Lord's concerned, out of the heart are the issues of life. Now, I understand how this works. a mother is a drunk, the father is a drug addict, wife beater. The kid is born then at a disadvantage. Nevertheless, the man and the woman, mother and father, are what they are because of what's in their heart. And the character of the child, in spite of his disreputable birth to two people that are disreputable themselves, what that child becomes, the character of that child will eventually, he will be responsible from his own heart of what develops. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Again, our tendency is to blame everybody else, but whether what comes to you is another sinner's fault, that sin flowed forth, that wrong flowed forth from that sinner's heart. And your response to what happens flows from your heart. And so that's why the Bible says, among other things, that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. As the Lord's going to judge you for all those things, but He's going to judge you on the basis of what flowed forth from your heart. It's not always somebody else's fault. I do understand life. I do understand that some folks, there are crimes committed. I do understand that there's life and death issues that seem to be nobody's fault. I understand that there are natural disasters. I understand that sometimes something blows up and it's nobody's fault. We had a guy, I knew a guy anyway, a friend of mine from high school. We were farmers, of course. And every farmer I knew carried an air tank with him to carry pressurized air for flat tires and stuff for tractors and trucks and everything else. And so you'd go to the service station and fill up your tank and put it in the back of the truck and go fill your tire up with air. One of my friends from high school, his dad was bent over at a service station airing his portable compressed air tank up, and a weld gave in that tank and blew both ends of the tank off, and that tank lifted straight up off the ground and blew up his face like this. And so, you know, I don't know what the exit velocity was, but the tank went 55 feet in the air, and so this guy gets a steel tank right in the face. Wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. But what came from it was his responsibility. You understand what I'm saying? I know that we're not all, and I hate to use the phrase in a way, I understand that we're not all given the same playing cards. But you have to play with what you're given, right? We're not all given the same talents. We're not all given the same amount of money. We're not all given the same talents or attributes. You know, in America, we're generally, you know, there's a lot of folks that are way beyond what anybody in Haiti is born with. You say, that's not fair. No, it's not fair. But it's your responsibility to do with what is handed to you. That's what flows out of your heart, the issues of life. I know what it is to lose a mother and father young. My mom and dad died before I was 27. So I know what that's like. I know what it is. You know, it wasn't my fault as far as I can tell. I wasn't doing anything wrong when I had the stroke 10 years ago or 9 years ago. But it happened, and so I've got to do something with it. Well, out of the heart flow the issues of life. You say, well, I know folks that were born in terrible poverty and with terrible crippling injuries and such things as that, I understand, but still the issues of life flow from your heart. That's what issues forth from the heart. The response to the issues, your decisions, your choices, your actions, your reactions to being born to a family that was far less than perfect. That's your responsibility. If you're debilitated young by some disease or by some accident, I'm sorry. But don't, you know, folks, at the same time, when we think about Madame Curie or Fanny Crosby or, say, a Jim Thorpe who bucked the system, an American Indian that was one of the greatest athletes there was, when you think about a Jackie Robinson who broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball, don't we... Don't we acknowledge those folks for overcoming obstacles? Well, those are the issues of life. But somehow, those sports heroes in certain segments and scenarios are honored, while in other cases, somebody born in another circumstance, that's not so honored, and I shouldn't have to overcome my obstacles. Well, that's not true. Even in the world, they understand it. Look at who the world idolizes. Think about Stephen Hawking. I know he's dead now. And look, he was dead wrong about a bunch of stuff. But this guy lived his entire life curled up, a wee little broken man in a wheelchair with this really brilliant brain. He spent his lifetime doing that and died at, 55 or 60, something like that? I mean, this guy lived his life in that wheelchair with that dread disease, and still the world thinks very highly of him. Well, I'm not saying he's a Christian, because he certainly wasn't. But still, the issues of life flowed from his heart. He didn't allow those obstacles to stop him. So what are you getting at, Brother Stevens? Well, at the bottom of it, you're responsible for your actions. It's not somebody else's fault. Adam and Eve were responsible for what they did, no matter what that serpent said. In the end, you're responsible. In the end, the reactions are yours. The decisions that you make were yours to be made. If you were raised by a mother and a father and a grandmother and a grandfather that trained you to make bad decisions, nevertheless, you're responsible for those decisions. I'd like to say that furthermore that, sins, sowing and reaping, you're responsible for those things. The world would have you be a victim all the time. The world would have it where nothing's your fault and you can blame somebody else all the time. We now have an entire generation of people, maybe multiple generations in part by this time, that think that their victimization, some legitimate, some illegitimate, gives them the right to lay around and not have any victories in life. I just want you to know that is not true. You say, this is really old school. Yeah, it is. It's as old as the Bible. It's as old as God. It says here in this book, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart flow the issues of life. If there's something not your fault, how you handle it is still your responsibility. I'd like to say along those lines that on top of the issue being the heart being the source of the issues of life, I then have to point you to the fact of the nature of the heart. Man tends to idealize and glorify the heart. I mean, somebody that had a broken heart in a romantic scenario, we feel sorry for them and all those things. An entire generation of folks was trained to follow their hearts, which is really bad advice. And you'll see that is bad advice here in just a second. Somebody's described as having a heart of gold. No, they don't. No, they don't. Not by nature. Now look here. Here's the truth of it. Look in Jeremiah chapter 17. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, are the issues of life. And for that reason, you start at a disadvantage. You start at a disadvantage for this reason. Look in Jeremiah chapter 17, and I know you know the verse. We quote it all the time. But nevertheless, here it is in black and white. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Now, I said a mouthful there, because I know some pretty deceitful things. But the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's another mouthful. I mean, wicked's one thing, but desperately wicked? That's pretty bad. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That implies that you don't even know deep fully your own heart. Look further in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Now, this leads up to a very important point. First of all, you need to know the source of the issues of life is the heart. Then you need to know a little bit about the nature of the heart, and I mean your heart. Look, folks, I'm talking about my heart. I know what dwells in my heart. There are some things down in there that are despicable, and I don't want to talk to you about them. I'll just leave it there and not give you details, but every man has a problem with his heart. Every woman has a problem with her heart. Look in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. It says there, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, every one of them, of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's not a very complimentary thing. Note furthermore, look in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to run you through a little bit of Bible here for just a minute. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Now, disagreement with me and my opinion is one thing, but disagreement with what the Scripture says is an entirely different disagreement. It means that you have a disagreement with God, and you may have a tendency to give yourself a break, and that you might think more highly of your decision making and your responses and your lot in life than somebody else. But the Lord is the true judge. Look in Romans chapter 1. Go down, if you will, to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Now, this is a long passage about a lot of things. But it says there, "Because that when they," mankind, "knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." That heart was darkened. And so you can go through, literally, folks, remember now, there's 950 references in the Bible to a man's heart. And so there's an awful lot of commentary we could go through, and you wouldn't get supper tonight if we just sat here and went through them all. But the point is that heart is full of terrible things. Bible says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." And the reason why is that your heart is untrustworthy. Out of it flow the issues of life. And if you don't have input coming into the heart that cleans the heart and purifies the heart, what issues forth out of that heart is going to naturally be dirty, and the issues of life, what becomes of life, becomes defiled. Notice Matthew chapter 15 real fast. Let me take you to the Savior here for a second. Now, I know that some of you don't need to be convinced of this. Maybe you need to be reminded. Maybe you don't have to be convinced. But you can at least say amen to some of the things that you felt and thought this last week or this last month, that these things are still true for the best of us here. Notice Matthew chapter 15. Go down, if you will, to verse 17. 15:17. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 17. "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught?" Now we know what that's talking about there, but verse 18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." It's not as simple as washing off dirt. "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." The things that flow from the heart are the issues of life. And the problem with it is the heart is wicked. But the problem with it is that the nature of the heart is bad. "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." Now, there's another really important thing here along this line. Go back, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. And I just want to, I need to bring this really home here. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. "Now, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The source of the issues in life, according to the Bible, is a man's heart. And the nature of the man's heart is not good. That's why we all wind up with a shipwreck in life without guidance. We all make bad decisions without guidance. we all, in yielding to our flesh and our fleshy thoughts, all wind up again in shipwreck if we're not careful. But now there's another very important thing here. I need you to see in chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I need you to acknowledge the keeper of the heart. Who's the keeper of the heart? You are. It says there in verse 23, keep thy heart. It's your responsibility. It's you. Now, I need you to think about this. I mentioned it in Sunday school because it was kind of on my mind already. But you realize it's not the heart that's converted. You realize that when somebody gets saved, that man is a tripart being. He's body, soul, and spirit. Correct? Okay? Your spirit must be born again. That's the part of you that's dead as a sinner. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It's the spirit that's born again. Now the soul becomes corrupted by sin, and it's the soul that goes to heaven or hell. So while the spirit must be born again, the soul itself has to be cleansed and saved, right? That's two parts. The third part is the body of man, the flesh. And we know in time the Lord redeems that flesh and save people. We get a new body, put on incorruptible flesh, and go live forever with Jesus Christ. A tripart being, glorified body, saved soul, reborn spirit. Right? Now where's the heart in all that? The heart is not converted. The heart in both a lost man and a Christian is always susceptible. That's why some Christians wind up mean, ugly, nasty people. It's because their soul may be saved and their spirit may be born again, but they've allowed their minds to go. And if the mind becomes corrupted and defiled, then they don't think right. So it's possible to be saved and still have a dirty, corrupt mind. And so I just want you to see that it's your the heart is your responsibility. I got news for you. Your heart will determine whether you get saved or not. The Lord's willing to save anybody. He really is. But it'll be your heart that makes a decision about whether you will be saved or not. And that's the truth. Now, the issues of life flow forth from the heart, but you're the keeper of the heart. There's a way in which you are king. You know, in that passage where David numbered Israel, and he said, the Lord said, I'm going to get you for that, and we're going to send a plague, and after the plague killed a whole bunch of people, David begged the Lord to stop it, and the Lord said, go up and buy Arana the Jebusite's wine press. And David went up and told Arana that he wanted to buy that wine press so there could be an offering made to atone for that sin so that God would stop the plague, right? The Bible says an interesting thing in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 23. It said that Arana reigned over his wine press as a king. David couldn't trespass on Arana's wine press. God didn't trespass on Arana's wine press. Arana had to give permission for David to buy the wine press. He reigned as a king. There are some things that you're king over. In the end, you're king over whether you get saved or not. The Lord's not going to make you get saved. He doesn't force anybody into anything. In that regard, you're king. You decide your eternity. Only the Lord can deliver you in eternity, but you decide your eternity. And those decisions all arise from a heart. You're the keeper. You're the keeper of that heart. That heart needs help because that heart is corrupt. That heart has influences coming into it all the time. Now look back in the passage. Look down in chapter 4, verse 20. Here's the help it gets. My son, attend to my words. What are those? Well, those are the words of God. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You need the Word of God in your heart so that your heart works right. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't have any input from the Word of God, from preaching, from reading the Bible, from tracts, you don't know what decision to make. You don't know. But you're the keeper. You're the keeper of the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession's made unto salvation. But with your heart, a man believes. If you remain in disbelief, it'll be because of your heart, and you'll be responsible for that. So it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So that's why the Lord is just to judge every man. And heaven or hell is the result. But it's because of what's in man's heart. And you're responsible for keeping the heart. You keep it. You're responsible for what flows out of it. Out of it flow the issues of life. You're responsible for what flows from it. God's going to hold you responsible. You're not going to be able to say, it's my mama's fault. Because in the end, it's not. She may have birthed you into a terrible situation. You may have been born crippled, or you may have been born with terrible disparities. But nevertheless, how you in heart responded to those things will be what the Lord determines this on. Look, you must be born again, but let's go on to something else. So we've seen out of the heart flow the issues of life. Now take your Bible back to Psalm 68, and let's deal with this other thing briefly. The issues of life are your responsibility. You're accountable for your actions, for your reactions, for your responses, for your decisions, for your sowing, and therefore for your reaping. Those things flow out of the heart. And again, that's why the Lord is just to judge. There'll be no injustice when He judges somebody for what He's done out of His heart. But then there's this, and this is the other side of it. Only two issues in the Bible: the issues of life and the issues from death. From death. Notice 68 and verse 20. Psalm 68, 20. He that is our God is the God of salvation. Now that's a comfort, because that's what you need. Everybody here needs salvation. If you're going to fulfill anything in life or eternity the way the Lord wants it, God made you to be saved. He is the God of salvation. Verse 20, He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. That covers a ton of ground. It all flows through man's heart. But the Bible then says, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Things, issues of life, and issues from death. Now, when you look at the rest of that verse in verse 20, unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. We looked first of all at the source of the issues of life. Do you remember what that is? You aren't listening at all. You're just not interested in being tested, I see. It's your heart, right? From the heart flow the issues of life. Now, we looked at the source. That's the source. Okay, there's a change. God is the possessor of the issues from death. To Him, those things belong. He owns it. He owns the issues from death. You, like I said, you're a king in your own right at some level. You, in some regards, up to a certain point, I get it, you don't get to control when you die or necessarily how you die. But you pretty much get to call the shots in life. God does not intervene in every minor or all that many major decisions in your life and force you to do something that you don't want to do. You pretty much reign a king in life. You pretty much get to call the shots in life. If you get money in your pocket, you get to decide how to spend it. When the Lord allows you to have children, you get to decide how you raise those children. You pretty much get a chance to reign as a king. You decide what you do on Friday night. You decide what you do on Saturday night. You decide what you do on Tuesday night. You pretty much get to reign as king. There's a level that you're not in control of. We preach about that often, but in the main, what I do with my time, my strength, my youth, my money, my belongings, my material, what materials I buy, it's my thing. I get to reign pretty much as king in those things. And oftentimes the Lord doesn't intervene. I mean, the Microsoft guy, I can't ever remember his name, the multi-billionaire or whatever, he gets to do pretty much what he wants to do. As far as we can see, you know, from looking at it from here, it doesn't look like the Lord is commanding him to do anything and forcing him to do anything. Now, one day he'll have to die, right? And a lot will depend then on whether he's saved or lost, correct? But as far as what he does with his money, what he does with his time, he's pretty much king. And so are you. See, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, you get to do pretty much what you want to do as captain of your life, you know, now. There's a limitation to it. But you realize that when you pass from this life, once death comes, you're in control of nothing. And for now, you get to decide whether you go to church or not. You get to decide whether you make decisions about these things we're talking about this morning or not. You decide what you do with your money. You decide what you do with your youth. You decide what you do with your kids. You decide what you do with your family. You decide how to treat your wife. You decide how to treat your husband, all those things. When you die, from that point on, you're not in control of anything. To Him, to God, the Lord, belong not the issues of death, the issues from death. From the point of death in time on, you control nothing. It all has to be decided on this side. Because from death on, it's all set in stone. The Lord owns that. When a Marine recruit goes to boot camp, the DI in one manner or other says, "Your backside pretty much belongs to me." Right? That Marine drill instructor, you know, you belong to me for as long as I've got you. Well, I got news for you. Once you pass the mortal veil, you're in control of absolutely nothing. Everything's decided on this side. It's like jumping out of an airplane. You have some control until you actually leap out the door. You can decide whether you put on a parachute or not. But buddy, with no parachute, once you've committed yourself out the door or get kicked out the door, which is the case in some death, then I'm sorry, your options are over. It's just a matter of when it happens then. Right? Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, from the point of death on, to God belongs the issues from death. He owns them. Judgment, heaven, hell, eternity, it's you in those places, but you are without control because you made a decision in life. And once you're in death, all control is lost. God owns that. Now there's another way to look at it. Verse 20. Unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. That's like somebody escapes from prison. To God belong the issues from death. Somebody escapes from a fire. If there is a rescue from death, if there's a way to avoid death, if there's an escape from death, that belongs to God. Right? To God belong the issues from death. Okay? Well, you don't get to choose, really, whether when you die or whether you die and how you die, all those things, but getting away from death belongs to God. Did you know that Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, I'm sure you do know, that the power of death is given to the devil? Hebrews 2, 14, you can look it up. The power of death is given to the devil. The power from death you have before you here in Psalm 68. Who's that belong to? That belongs to God. If there's a way to avoid death, God owns it. Now, what do you need to escape death? What do you need to get away from death? Well, you need life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He owns life. He said, I give unto them eternal life. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. I own it. I'll give it to you. I don't have to sell it to you. I own it. I'll give it to you. You want it? Nah. Okay, fine. Then there's no... there. To me belong the issues from death, and therefore you're not going to escape. Not going to escape this death, you're not going to escape eternal death. What do you need to escape death? Well, you need a new birth. Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I can give you a new birth. I can see to it that you're born of the Spirit. But if you're not born again, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right? If you're going to escape death, then you're going to have righteousness. It's just the way it is. Your problem is sin. No psychologist is going to tell you that. No psychiatrist is going to tell you that. You can go take all the classes you want, spend $100,000 on education, and what's going to come out is that you're not going to believe that your problem is your sin. And God says your problem is your sin. And so the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. I'll give you righteousness. I'll just give it to you. It belongs to me. I'll give it to you. Folks, that's why salvation's free. It wasn't free for him. It's free for you. You know why? Because it's all his. He owns it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. Because it's his. And it's expensive, and you can't afford it, and so he'll just give you some. But he owns it. He owns. It belongs to him, the issues of death. He owns it. So, two things. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. To God the Lord belong the issues from death. Those are the only issues in the Bible. All that matters is what flows from the heart in life and to God belong the issues from death. If you didn't get your eternal life from God, you don't have it. If you think that you got eternal life from a religion, that's not where you got it. If you think that you can earn eternal life, you can't earn it because it's something that's given, never earned. Okay? So, the issues of life flow from the heart. You need to deal with the heart issue. That heart will determine whether you go to heaven or not. Because you will either decide for Christ or against Christ by what flows from your heart. And you're responsible for that heart. I'm not responsible for my son's or daughter's hearts. I can't be responsible for my wife's heart. And I can't be responsible for yours. I'm responsible only for my own. And so out of the heart flow the issues of life. And just remember that to God belong the issues of death. If you want to get away from death, you're going to have to get away from death through him. It's a personal relationship. It's as simple as that. I hope if anybody here has never been saved, never trusted Christ as their Savior, the gift is there. I mean, it is sitting, waiting, wrapped, paid for, and it's, brother, it's nice stuff. I mean, it's one thing if this were a dollar store gimmick, you know, something that'll break within the first 3 minutes that you own it. But I mean, this is good stuff here. We're talking something beyond price. And it belongs to him. And he doesn't give away chintzy stuff. You need to consider that. When he sent his son to die for our sins, he didn't send some bum. He sent the best he had. He sent his son. And so, from him, I mean, the issues from death belong to him. You have no right to claim life if you didn't get it from him. He owns it. Go accept the gift from him. And it'll have to come from him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I pray this